you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground, right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host and thrilled to be here and be part of the Live Paranormal family and part of all of our syndicators around the world. Thank you, iHeartRadio. Thank you, Google Podcasts. Thank you, iTunes. Thank you, Stitcher. Thank you, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio. The list goes on and on. So honored to be a part of this family and a part of all of those families as well. And to be here with you every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, right here at liveparanormal.com, at hauntedplayground.com, and I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Every week on Haunted Playground, I gather folks that I believe to be the brightest and loveliest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in both the spiritual and the paranormal communities. And we talk about everything that lives beyond the three dimensions. So whether you believe in life after death, reincarnation, or you think there might be a Loch Ness Monster in your pool, it all belongs here on Haunted Playground. And everything is okay to talk about, and I haven't met a guest I didn't love. And I'm sure this will be the case with this wonderful guy who's joining me for the first time, although I feel like I know him because we have a very good friend in common. And he's a wonderfully talented author. He is a creator of tarot decks, of oracle decks, and an intuitive, and just a joy, I'm sure, and a wonderful addition here to the Haunted Playground family. Please welcome to Haunted Playground for the very first time, the wonderful Radley Valentine is here. Hello, my friend. How are you? I'm excited to hear your voice. I feel like I know you already.
I'm good, but I would like to report a Loch Ness Monster in my pool.
We're going to get somebody right out to look at that, my friend. In the meantime,
thank you,
take
because
a lot of
we're,
pictures
we're concerned.
And
okay.
Normally I say a griffin in your backyard, but this time I changed it up a little bit. So how did I know I must be a psychic that it was something that you actually
very
had in
psychic.
Your pool? It was
it is.
An
it's
immediate cryptozoological crisis that you're dealing with. I'm so glad to
it
have
is.
You here.
It is. We're quite concerned.
I feel like I know you. You're a good friend of my best friend since high school, and I've heard your name so many times, and I believe that good people know good people. So I'm always excited to reach out and find guests that I have not had here, but that come highly recommended from people I love. So thank you and welcome.
Of course, I'm happy to be here. I'm sure you're talking about Brad Pitt, right?
Yes, I am. Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Our dear friend Brad Pitt. Yes.
He is so cool.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad he recommended you to me. I take all his recommendations, George Clooney, Julia Roberts, Radley Valentine, whoever he suggests,
that's who
I bring on.
Yeah, you should. You should.
So tell me a little bit about, because it's your time here, this is your first time here. Tell my listeners a little bit about what the process was like for you to accept your spiritual path and your spiritual gifts. And because I think that's something that people ask me, clients ask me all the time, I'm sure clients ask you all the time, people ask you all the time, you know, when they contact you, everybody's very interested to know how it happens that we sort of get onto our path. So how did it happen for you, my friend?
you know, it's like I think everything in our spiritual lives is an evolution. So, so for people who don't know me, I am actually a recovering certified public accountant. And I seriously am. I I kind of went into college in a state of confusion. I started out in college in music and dance, and I switched to psychology, and somehow I wound up in accounting. And by the time I understood the error of my ways, it was too late to change my major. And actually, in the end, it wound up being something that I'm grateful for. I like this whole bipolar element of my life of left brain, right brain. I enjoy that.
Sure.
I think it serves me. It really serves me well. but I also grew up gay in the South and from a family that was half Cherokee and half Christian, I guess you could say, in a way, in a weird blended way. Mm-hmm. And so it was very confused. And so I was looking for my own spirituality. And I got very interested in angels and my very first teacher, a woman whose name is Carla, was into angels, but she was also into tarot. And so at that time of the world, those two things were considered strange bedfellows. You know, it was like, they didn't go together. And but I totally felt that they did. I totally embraced that. And because I didn't like fear in spirituality. I didn't like that. That's what I grew up with a little bit, was fear in spirituality. I didn't like that. And so I kind of got to this place where it was like, okay, I'm really fascinated by angels. I'm really fascinated by tarot. I am not fascinated by the guy that's laying face down in a pool of blood with 10 swords in his back, a.k.a. the 10 of swords in tarot. I'm not fascinated by him. I'm not fascinated by that devil guy. I'm not fascinated by, death. I'm not fascinated. So I started to realize really up front that it was like, okay, there seems to be something here that is out of resonance for me, where it was like, it's like, I understand that whole old concept. I understand that whole way of looking at things that, tarot is 600 years old. Yeah, so people were illiterate. Life was tough. Maybe we need a guy who's scraping heads off the ground, to explain the concept of death, which is really just a concept of the ending of something. But that's not how I wanted to experience it. It's not how I wanted people around me to experience it. And so I got very interested in, okay, so how do we keep this whole concept of tarot? How do we keep this whole concept of a connection to spirituality without the fear? And that's kind of like really what set me on the path.
I love that. And so when you grew up half Cherokee and half Christian, was your Christian half, was that a predominant part of your life? I mean, did you grow up, because you were talking about fear, did you grow up with that sort of umbrella of Christian fear over you? Because I think that, especially for folks that do, right, the idea of living in a life without that fear is so very important.
Yeah, no, I did. I mean, it was a church where fear was really, really taught. And yet there was this other half that was Cherokee, that was mysticism, that was, my mom going, it's like, trust your instincts, trust your guidance, blah, blah, blah. I had my first psychic experience when I was 5, and she was fabulous with that. And so it was just this weird mix if you were taught about religion, it was all Christianity. If you were taught about how the world works, it was all Cherokee mysticism. And, what made that a little bit confusing, I think, possibly, is that it was an evenly divided house on both sides. Both my grandmothers were half Cherokee. So it wasn't that it was like, this half is Christian and this half was Cherokee. It was both halves were Christian and both halves were Cherokee. And so it was this really weirdness of a mixed message of this is what we believe religiously, but this is how the world works, and they were opposing.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And do you carry with you elements of that Christianity? And I only say that because my mother was also a psychic medium and sort of a closet metaphysician for most of her life till we moved to Los Angeles and I became an adult and she felt like she could come out and be safe. But there were elements in what she called herself a teachings of Christ Christian. There were elements of the teachings of Christ that she loved. She had a nativity at Christmas. It filled a whole room. It had like 100 pieces. And I'm proud to have inherited it, but I don't think she associated herself necessarily with, you know, folks that were evangelical Christians or very devout Catholics. She separated herself from the religion, the institution, but very much enjoyed the teachings of what Jesus had to say. Did you bring some of that with you?
Wow, no one's ever asked me that.
Really?
So we have a commonality. I mean, I think my mom was that way. I do think she was that way, where it was that whole mix. But I still appreciate the concept of Christianity from the standpoint of the way in which it was initially presented to have been. I don't appreciate Christianity in the way in which it is practiced in its majority today. I don't think there's any relationship. I think the way Christianity is practiced in its majority today has very little to do with the Christ concepts. Very little
exactly.
to do with
yes.
it.
Or the Christ concept at all. I completely agree with you.
It
yes,
has
I
almost
do.
Nothing
I,
to do with it.
I agree. Yeah. And I think in a lot of people who were raised Christian, and that's still the predominant religion in our country, right, are trying to find their way to sort of design their own spiritual palette. I'm sorry?
And that's why Christianity in America today is diminishing, is because it is not in an energetic connection with the Christ consciousness. It has fallen out with that concept, and that's why it's dying, and it will
right.
continue
yes.
to die.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you please.
I was going to say, if you look at the teachings of Christ and you look at Christ as a presence, right, both on the earth and off. I mean, to me, Christ as a living person was like the grooviest metaphysician there was. I mean, you know, kind of groovy healer, hung out, wore sandals. I mean, to me, there's always this There's always this opposition between Christians and people in the metaphysical and New Age communities. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Because that guy, he would have been running both of those churches.
He was a total hippie, right?
Yes,
he was
right.
a total hippie.
Super, super groovy, right. And everything he did was what modern day, New Age spiritual teachers and clergy modeled themselves after that. You know, the healing and the loving and the community and the connection and everything based on love, and God is loving and not condemning. And you know what I mean? It's so interesting. And and I was not really raised in a church. So I'm somebody who has a different kind of background. So I always like to ask people who do, because I know a lot of my clients, and I'm a pastor at MCC, at the Founders Church of MCC. And I know a lot of those folks, right? Because founded by people in the queer community who were basically, you know, rode out of their churches on a rail, and then they founded a place where they could be Christians. I think that, too, is an evolution of your spiritual palate. And I think no matter how you're raised, from evangelical to atheist to everything in between, we're all trying to find our way, right, and put together our spiritual palate and figure out what from what different sect and faith and ideology resonates with us to sort of build our own spiritual profile. And it's fascinating to see how everybody builds their own, right? Because everybody's just different.
Everybody is different. And, you know, it's like whether it is my, you know, growing up gay and in religion and finding my way out, or whether it is my professional career as a certified public accountant / spiritual teacher, it's like I would not undo any of it. You know, I don't want to change it. I don't want to reverse it. All of it has served me. All of it led me where I am. And I feel like, you know, whether it is my, you know, my background in the Methodist Church in the South, or being someone who's very, you know, analytic, you know, it's like both of those things have led me to where I am to be able to do the mathematical, metaphorically equations of, okay, how do we get ourselves out of this place of fear, and how do we get ourselves out of this place of overanalyzation to bring ourselves to a place of spirituality that is fearless, courageous, and in a place of faith, rather than analytical. It's like I don't want to change any of it because I like where I am.
Yeah, it's so beautifully said. And I think that really accepting your true spiritual path is a lot about surrender, right? You have to – my mama used to say that humans were just smart enough to be dangerous. We stop ourselves from that surrender because we want to know best. And if we just sort of listen to spirit and just keep saying yes to opportunities that come, your life just beautifully kind of unfolds in front of you. And all you have to do is just sort of take the ride, and people sort of fight that, right, so much, which is why I think oftentimes people will go and see a psychic or an intuitive or a medium or get their cards done, and then they don't like what the cards say. They have somebody else do their cards. They don't like that, and they're looking for the cards to match what they want instead of actually really listening to what spirit has to say to them.
I think that empowerment comes from surrendering power.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
You know, right? I mean, it's like you ask for what you want. You seek the divine. You seek for what you believe, where you believe joy is. But at some point, you have to let it go. At some point, you have to like make the wish, blow the dandelion, right? And then you have to like step back and go, okay, I'm going to let this unfold, because where we fail is trying to tell the universe or the divine, the source or God or goddess, I don't care which word you pick, where we try to tell that magic how it must unfold, because that will never work. We have to ask for what we want and trust the magic and allow it to unfold in the way in which it is meant to unfold.
Yes, absolutely true. So very true. Yeah, and that's the point of it, right? I mean, I tell clients this all the time. If you are seeking to have a better connection with the divine, then isn't the point of that to listen to what spirit is saying to you?
Right.
If you're just going to do
right.
what you're going to do
yeah.
anyhow, what's the point? But if you're really
there
looking to get on
no
path
point.
And allow
right.
spirit to sort of hold your hand down the path and be this
yeah.
force that is bigger and wiser and more benevolent and loving than you could ever imagine, why not listen? Because messages are coming for you. It's just kind of about saying yes to them a lot of the time. And I think that maybe that's the wonderful thing about Oracle cards and tarot cards, is that it gives people the permission to believe what they're receiving So they, it overrides their stubborn, you know, mammalian self that it's, that's not right. I know everything and I'm going to tell God who I'm going to be. And you know what I mean? I think sometimes the tools are lovely because it lets people rely on something other than.
Let me think. 572% do I agree? But and the reason
is because the
truth of the matter is that it's like tarot or oracle cards, whatever. They're pieces of paper with pictures on them. That's what they are. But we don't have faith in ourselves. But
yes,
we're just dorky enough to have faith in pieces of paper with pictures on them. And
all that is
us like getting out of our own way.
Yes.
It's like our ego is just dorky enough to go, okay, I'm not going to let you trust yourself, but I'll let you trust a piece of paper with a picture on it. And and so it's like they're training wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're training
wheels.
We're on the little bicycle, and the training wheels are tarot cards or oracle cards, and we're like, okay, I'm going to trust that these training wheels will keep me safe. I'm going to trust that these pieces of paper with pictures on them will keep me safe. And so I will connect with my divine, which I don't need the pieces of paper with pictures on them. I don't need that. But the training wheels tell me I do. So I can, like, trust the little pieces of paper with pictures on them to give me insight into the divine, when in reality I could have done it myself. But you know what? I don't care what gets the job done. If pieces of paper with pictures on it gets the job done, if that gets you to a place of lack of fear, if that gets you to a place of being able to connect to the divinity within you, print a whole lot of those pieces of paper. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Whatever you need to get you there. Whatever you need to, that makes you feel comfortable enough to start walking down those first few steps of your path to really become,
right,
to start building your spiritual power.
That's how I've always been. It's like, I don't care what your belief system is. I don't care what gets you there. I only care that something gets you there.
Yes, I agree.
And that you love on that.
I couldn't agree. All paths paved in good lead us to the light, right?
Yeah,
it just
whatever.
Doesn't matter what path you
Pick
take.
One.
It just matters that you head in that direction. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So when you started to think about the idea of designing cards, and you didn't want to put all the fearful stuff in it, was it hard to conceptualize how to do a death without the fear of, oh, it's the death card, you're going to die? And I really think there are readers, and I hate to say this, who actually kind of take a little pleasure in all the morbidity of what you can make a tarot be if you want to.
That's a two-part answer. So the first part of that answer is, no, it wasn't hard at all. I couldn't wait. I was like, let me at it. I couldn't wait. But I think that in the world today, there's so much judgment. And, you know, it's like there's a lot of tarotists who hate me. They hate me.
They say
I ruined tarot. And it's like, but I'm also like, I don't care. It's like, I don't care that you think I ruined tarot, because I took it out of a place of what I perceive to be fear and worry and anxiety. But I also don't care from the standpoint of, I think it's super limiting and puts God in a box to say that tarot has to be one way or the other. It's like,
agreed,
the people who like tarot that is in a more alarmist kind of state, then great. If
right.
that connects you to the divine, knock yourself out. Good evening for you.
Right.
It's just, it's like, I just almost wish it's like, don't judge people who don't want to see it that way. You know, it's like, and not to be political, but I feel the same way about masks. It's like, I don't care if you wear a mask or don't. I really couldn't give a flip. But don't judge me because I do, and I'm not judging you because you don't. And
the
problem in our world today is the judgment. It's, it's whether you judge tarot as you want it to be, quote-unquote, dark, or want it to be, quote-unquote, not scary, whether you want whatever, it's like stop judging everybody. Because it's like, it is not serving us.
Absolutely. I saw a meme the other day that said love is not trying to make everyone into you. And I think that's so true.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I like that a lot. Human beings tend to want to turn
others into themselves. And, you know, and it's with so many things in our world right now, right? Matt, you do you and I'll do me, and let's not bully each other. And I think even within marginalized communities, right? In the queer community, this one doesn't like that one, and this one doesn't believe that one should be there, and this one thinks that letter doesn't belong. And how about we all work together as one and get more done because we're loving and accepting each other and not tearing each other apart. And I think
that is so
important. Yeah, just be you and let others be them. I love that you said that. I think that is so important. So in your decks, what kinds of things did you use to replace death and, you know, the Ten of Swords and all these things that you saw is very, very fear oriented.
Well, what I tried to do is I didn't want to water down tarot, though some people say I did, but I disagree. It wasn't about watering it down. It was about bringing the language into the 21st century. I mean, this is a language of the divine that is 600 years old. And as I mentioned earlier, it's like people were illiterate, people had difficulty with concepts, and it's like, you know, ten of swords, I call it ten of air, but it's like, you know, it's like it's basically a card to say a situation is over. I mean, it's basically what it is. We don't need the melodrama of a person dying in blood with ten swords in the back when one sword would have done it. And so that's really where I put my focus. It's like, okay, what is the death card? It is a severe ending that you cannot just tiptoe through. You have to deal with it. Well, okay, so call the card release. Let's get rid of the guy with the sword who's cutting people's heads off. We don't need that.
Yes. Right.
We
no
don't.
More reaping.
And
right.
And in fact, I would argue that after hundreds of years of reincarnation, if you buy that, which I do, all these centuries of reincarnation, we're too sensitive for that imagery anymore. We're spiritual beings, and we've become too sensitive for that imagery. All it's going to do is create fear and anxiety for ourselves or for people that we're doing readings for. It no longer functions. You know, the devil card. No, go ahead.
I said from a spiritual perspective, to the place where we have evolved now, some of us as a species, first of all, we know now death is not the end, right? Death is just a transition into something else, which is often a transition back. And also the image of the reaper is sort of this scary skeleton with a sickle. The truth is ferrymen, right? Those whose jobs are to get us across, to get us home, and then to get us back as we come back and reincarnated. That's not a scary thing. Those are beautiful people. Somebody who puts you on a boat and takes you over the Rainbow Bridge, that's a beautiful thing. That's not a scary skeleton Halloween thing.
No, I believe that we stand in line for that on the other side. I think that we get... I think we do this crazy life. We're like, what the hell was I thinking? Why did I sign up for this? Then we finish it. We move back to the realm of spirit, and we go, woo-wee, that was a crazy ride. And it's very mad because I'm a Disney freak, okay? So you get off it's Halloween-ish. You get off of Haunted Mansion, and all you want to do is get back in the queue and ride it again, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the reincarnation is like that. It's like you get back to spirit, and you're like, okay, how quick can I get back on the ride, even though that is inconceivable to us.
Right. Then we come back here and shake our fists at the sky and say,
If I had a nickel for every person who told me this is my last lifetime, I would be like a bazillionaire. And it's like, no, it isn't.
I know. You'll never hear that from me. I can't wait to come back. I'm not only done with this life yet, and I can't wait for the next one.
I wouldn't mind a different planet.
okay. All right, I try that, too.
I kind of like it here,
this dysfunctional, strange. You know, Earth is kind of like a feral cat that keeps coming for milk on your patio every night.
Oh, my God.
It's a ride. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. That's totally right. That is right.
You love it in spite of all of it, and you love it in spite of the fact that when you're trying to feed it, it bites your hand. We still can't wait to get back here to this crazy marble, you know? Me anyhow.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's true.
Anyway.
So for you, because you've done tarot decks, you've also done oracle decks. What is the difference in the two as far as what people get spiritually from each?
Spiritual metaphysical sense, I don't think there's any difference at all. I mean, tarot is a set system. It's, Ace of Fires / Ace of Wands is Ace of Wands. It's like you can print it differently. You can get a different artist. You can come up with different symbolism. But in the end, Ace of Wands is Ace of Wands. Oracle cards are more free form. There can be 44 cards, 57, 62, 23, I don't care. And the messages are completely designed by the author. They can be whatever you want. But from a standpoint of functionality, they're the same. They're just totally the same. I also sort of feel like that oracle cards are for people who are less, maybe a little less self-confident. I hate to say that, but it's like,
okay,
it's like they are more inclined to want the author to tell them what the card means than maybe tarot. But in the end, it's the same system. It's exactly the same. And that's one of the reasons why I designed my tarot cards the way I do. So oracle cards have a tendency to have words at the bottom. It's like satisfaction, creativity, whatever. And so when I was trying to learn tarot, I found it very complicated. And so when I finally found a deck that I could stomach, that didn't have people dying everywhere, I bought two copies. I bought one and I set it aside. The second one, I took a Sharpie and I wrote around the white border what the card meant. And so as a training method, it was, again, training wheels. So in my tarot cards, there are words at the bottom. And part of that is to remove the intimidation. It's to make it so that you can open the cards, and I tell this to my students all the time, if you like oracle cards, open a deck of my tarot cards, because it's like the words are at the bottom. It'll tell you, take a leap of faith. It'll be okay. These words are at the bottom, and it's not this memorization exercise that a lot of people right now do not have the mental energy for. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, especially mm-hmm. in today's day and age, where it's like, I can't even remember why I went to the kitchen. I don't even know why I'm at the grocery store, except that I need to buy things. Don't give me one more thing to memorize. And so it's meant to be a intimidation tool to have words at the bottom. And so my tarot decks, in a way, are a cross between tarot and oracle in that vein.
I love that. And I think that's beautiful, because I think that sometimes, advertently or inadvertently, there's almost a like an exclusivity in the tarot community. Like, well, if you don't know everything about every single card, you shouldn't even own cards. And the truth is, people are not going to become experts overnight. They need time to learn. You need time to spiritually bond, right, and cohabitate with a deck and get used to it. It's not like you're going to open it up and instantly be this big expert, unless that's what you are and you do anyhow. I mean, you could probably open up any deck and do that. I couldn't even open up every single deck with Tro and do that. So I think it's beautiful you make it easy for people.
I think that's an old element of the Golden Dawn, which was very exclusive. You know, mm-hmm. it was meant to be, mm-hmm. we know this and you don't know this, and we liked it that way.
Right.
So, right. you know, so that was sort of like that narrative. But I just sort of feel like it's like, it's the, you know, cards or astrology or numerology, whatever you want, whichever thing you claim, is a language of the divine. And mm-hmm. it's like, it shouldn't be hard. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense that you are a child of the divine and that you connecting with the divine is supposed to be hard. That is irrational.
Mm-hmm.
I loathe irrational definitions of God, of Source.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
And
it
you
feels like I hate it when people humanize the divine.
I agree. I agree. And also, well, and that's the history of our species, right, Radley, is creating spirituality
right.
and making it the have and have nots, right? Like, these are the people
mm-hmm.
that are in the know, and they're going to tell
right.
you everything that you need to know, but you don't get to know it because you're not that special. And I think if you look back at the history of pretty much every religion there ever was, including the New Age community, you're going to see a lot of that. And I think, like you said, that's a human concept. That idea that I belong but you don't is a mammalian concept. It's a three-dimensional concept. It has nothing to do with spirit at all. It's never has spirit ever given me a message that said, this person's not as good as that person, or tell this person they don't get to talk to me. It's not like that. It's a thing that humans do to make themselves rich, powerful, feel better, feed their egos, whatever the problem is, but it is certainly not of spirit. And I think it's so important that folks know that. And I love that you make it easy for people to learn and to also memorize their decks and to become more familiar with it and to become more comfortable with it and to spiritually get more out of it. I think that is so important.
Well, and I agree with what you said. I'd like to think of my decks as being stepping stones. It's like you can open one of my decks and use it right away. But if you want to be like Radley, if you want to be a total symbolism nerd, if you want to be a total geek about the whole concept, it's there. You know, whenever I took a card out of tarot and said, this aspect of symbolism is frightening, I put something back. You know, because, again, I didn't want to water it down. So if we can take the scary parts out but put symbolism back in. And then it's like, however far down the rabbit hole you want to go, go. And if you don't want to go, don't. You know, you know, I like my rabbit holes. But,
So let's talk a little bit about angels, because a lot of your work revolves around that.
Yeah.
Obviously,
well,
there's such a vast universe, right? So many things are in our universe. There's so many things we can pick to focus on. Although I did get very excited as an Irishman when I saw the fairy deck, just so you know. I see the word fairy, and I get a little excited.
Hey, you know what? I went to Europe. I did it. I went to the well. I went to the tour. I went there to research that deck. So,
did you love it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Do you have a little, is there a little Irish in you somewhere?
Well, it's possible. I haven't checked, but I just loved the mysticism of it. I loved Glastonbury.
Yeah.
I just loved every little piece of that. You know, from a metaphorical standing, I totally got drunk off my ass from the well. I just did.
You know, nice.
And it's like,
nice.
there's no chemicals in there that, you know, that from a human standpoint, but it's like, I was totally loopy. And I loved that. I loved it from a spiritual sense that I'm like goofy off my ass because I'm drinking water from a spiritual source. It's like,
fantastic.
How magical is that?
Right, ingesting a little bit of fairy dust as you go. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
So back to angels, because that's kind of your, a lot of your thing.
It is.
What is your connection there, and why do you feel that it's so important that you share that angelic connection with others, inspire them to be able to make their own?
You know, I've been in tune since I was 5. And that attunement grew. I believe in our incarnations as being a collaborative effort.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was really into angels, but not in the way I was. I mean, she was into it from the standpoint of she had, you know, her mug that said, have you hugged your angel today? She wore angel brooches. She had a bumper sticker that said, never fly faster than your angels can fly. So it was, in a way, it was like my mom building a roadmap. It was like she was putting up these billboards for me. For me, it was more
sure.
Without in any way lessening her viewpoint, but my viewpoint was deeper from a spiritual sense in that I wanted to talk to them and that I knew that I was talking to them. I mean, we literally have this connection to the divine source to us that is our guardian angels or the archangels that is like, here's hell, okay, you wanted to come here. You told me to erase your memory, so I did. So you need help in the video game of life. Here it is. And so why would we not reach out to that? Why would we not embrace it? Why would we not avail ourselves of that kind of amazing magical help? And it
yeah.
is magical help. It is pure, unadulterated love. There is no ego. Angels do not have ego. They are not judging. It breaks my heart when people say they have no guardian angels. Or I've actually had someone in a metaphysical bookstore one time tell me, oh, yeah, I sent my guardian angels away because I was mad and they never came back. And I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to die right here and now. It's like, really? Why are you in the store? It's like, that is not even possible. It's not conceivable. It isn't true because they don't
right.
judge you.
Right.
But
of course, yes.
They have been with you lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. They understand you better than you do. And,
yes.
And it's like, reach out to that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where do you, I mean, I know there are so many different kinds of angels and purposes of angels. For you, where do they come from? What are they? If these are questions you don't want to answer, it's okay. I just did a film in Joshua Tree with a bunch of UFO folks. And, you know, a lot of them believe that off-worlders are actually angels, and they think the Bible proves that. So everybody has these – some people think people get reincarnated into angels. I mean, people have all these stories of where angels come from and what purpose they serve in the world of spirituality, right, in the universe. For you, what do you think?
So first of all, I'm not invalidating anybody's belief system. I think that whatever belief system works for you is meant to work. My belief system is that no one is ever reincarnated as an angel. They're apples and oranges. They're not
mm-hmm.
the same.
I believe the same.
I think angels to me are a different version of divine than the souls that are reincarnating. So is your grandma mm-hmm. who passed over with you all the time? Sure. I'm not debating that. I just don't think it's the same as your guardian angel. I do not think mm-hmm. that Archangel Michael is your guardian angel. He's an archangel. Is he with you all the time?
Right.
Sure, he can be. But he's not a guardian angel. Guardian angels are soul-specific protectors that are assigned to us from the divine, who follow us lifetime after lifetime and are closer to us than we can possibly imagine. And so I don't buy the hierarchy. You know, there's said to be this whole hierarchy
right.
of the angels
right.
and the
right.
archangels
sure.
and the seraphim it's like that's a human concept.
Right.
I think we're on the same level. We're just different. We're experiencing
yes.
a different incarnation. And
mm-hmm.
I think all incarnations are beautiful. And
I love the
archangels. That, you know, it's like I always say that I think people get really into archangels like Michael and Gabriel and Uriel because it's like they're sexy. And I don't mean that from the physical sense. It's a sexy concept.
Right.
It's
right.
And we as human beings, we like it that Michael's in charge of safety and Raphael's in charge of health and healing and Uriel's in charge of transformation.
Right.
And we like that. And we should like it.
Right.
But it's like the unsung heroes are the guardian angels. Or it's like they're with
right.
me freaking 24/7, lifetime after lifetime. Why
yes.
are you not availing yourself of them?
Right. I agree. I always liken the archangels too, like the police and the fire people and the EMTs. Like, they're always around. If something happens and you need them, they'll come. But they're not necessarily
right.
assigned to you.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's like Brad Pitt and Christopher Hemsworth. I want Chris Hemsworth assigned to me, but he isn't. But
yeah, right. We all want things. That's an important part of being human.
Yeah.
The lovely incarnate concept, Radley. We all want things.
Right. Exactly.
That's the best. Now, where do you fit in guardian angels and spirit guides? Do you believe in both? Do you think they work together?
Yeah, totally. Yes. I just think they're different. I don't think they're the
right.
same. It's, you know, I think spirit guides in my possibly uneducated viewpoint are, you know, this sort of like mix. It's like my mom, I know she's watching over me. My grandmother, I know she's watching over me. I think there are spirit guides who were my grandfather 3 lives ago who I have no
absolutely
concept of who they are in this lifetime, but still watching over me. It's like, I think those are things. But that's not the same as angels, and it's not the same as as archangels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree, and I think that people want their loved ones that pass to be spirit guides. I think of their loved ones that pass more like guiding spirits because they obviously knew you on the earth and they went home
saying,
and from home they're looking out for you from home. Spirit guides I think of more sort of like like a caseworker in the social work system, that before you come out into earth they sort of are assigned to you and take care of you. And like you said, oftentimes, almost always, right, one of them has some kind of an ancestral connection to you. But it could be 20 generations back. But usually there is one that has some kind of ancestral connection. And I've noticed there's usually one that was never on the earth, is something other than someone who was human, be it someone who is from another planet or someone who is more interdimensional. It's interesting how everybody seems to always have one that isn't like like one of these three is not like the others, you know what I mean? That's not necessarily a human from Earth.
Well, and I buy that. You know, it's like my husband and I just moved cross country. I mean, to the other side of the country, really. And yesterday I was going to a grocery store, and in front of me was a silver Buick with a Tennessee license tag from Knox County. That might as well have been my mother's car. She drove Buicks. Her last one was silver, Knoxville, Tennessee. So to me it was like, oh, wow, look, Mom's saying, hey, I'm here and I'm watching over you.
Mm-hmm. So you moved to the eastern part of the country?
Western.
Oh,
moved to the
west
coast. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you had been here for a while. I didn't know you just recently located here.
Just got here like 7 days ago. Everything is a
and
mess.
And are you from oh, that's fantastic. And are you from Tennessee?
Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah.
Do you know that my parents lived in Knoxville before I was born?
Oh, really? Wow.
For real. And then they lived in Greenville for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But my mom's from Louisville, Kentucky, so that's where my family is from, and I feel very connected to Louisville. I love that whole southern region, that whole part there. I just love Tennessee, Kentucky. It's so beautiful, and there's a part of me that fantasizes moving back in the other direction and living there. But there's something about the Pacific Ocean. She will draw you in.
I'm a mountain
person. And all that Mojave Desert energy. Oh, okay.
I'm a mountain person.
Nice.
I always go to the mountains, and I can see them out my window.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we got everything here, right? I've been here since I was 13, and I love the ocean, I love the desert, I love the mountains, and I love the combination of all three. So this is a very mystical place that doesn't really get credit for how mystical it is, because everybody thinks of Hollywood and all the three-dimensional things of here. We do not get credit for how mystical, and we absolutely should. So I think you're going to love it here. Congratulations. I'm sorry about the boxes, but that part goes away.
Yeah,
you're going to love it.
Just,
now, are you?
Am I what?
Do you teach in person? Were you teaching in person before COVID? Do you miss that?
Yes and no. I mean, I miss teaching in person, but I don't mind that I'm not. We will start, we thought we were going to start teaching in person. When I say we, I just mean I have a team that I don't do anything by myself. My team makes it all happen. So we thought we were going to start teaching in person this year, but you know, it's like Delta variant came out and everything went to hell in a handbasket. And so it was like, okay, no.
Right.
So we think we're going to start teaching in person in Southern California in April of 2022. And we are possibly delusionally thinking that we will do Florida in 2022 in October. But Florida has become a very strange place. So I don't know.
Yes. Right.
We'll see.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. I had a friend of mine that's has been on American Horror Story, do this show about a month ago, and she was laughing about all the conventions she had booked to do. They all got canceled except for Texas. She's like, all I do now is go to Texas. I just go to conference after conference in Texas because they're not shutting anything down. So, yeah, it is a strange
time.
That's
frightening.
I agree. And I taught in Texas twice a year, and I stopped going because – I didn't want to do it during all this. It's interesting, though. I find now I'm kind of loving the online connection. I will love it when I go back to teaching in person, but I really kind of love the way that you can kind of ethereal connect with people like we are today. You don't have to be with somebody to feel like they're right in the room with you, and I think that's a beautiful thing.
No, I like both. I mean, it's like I'm quintuple Sagittarius. So I like people. I like that whole thing. So, you know, but pandemic has been an interesting educational experience where I've learned that it's like, you know what, visual's okay. That's all right. I'm okay with this. So I think the jury's out for me about I traveled internationally a lot. I don't think that's coming back. I just don't think I'm going to go back to that. I just don't.
I know. I think we've all had a chance to enjoy our time, and I think we've realized how nice it is to actually be in our homes that we worked so hard to keep going for a while.
Yeah.
Sweetie, we're completely out of time,
right.
And I think you are wonderful. Will you please come back and do this with me again? I would love it.
Of course. No problem.
You're the best. And where's the best place for everyone to reach you and find out about all your great stuff?
Oh, just go to RadleyValentine.com and you'll find everything.
Fantastic. Please do that, folks. And thank you, Radley, for being here. I so appreciate you.
Of course.
Radley Valentine, everybody. What a joy to have him on the show. If you missed those links, RadleyValentine.com, or find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. to learn more about me and all of my spiritual services. Also, liveparanormal.com for the network and hauntedplayground.com for the show. We're here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time right here on Live Paranormal and syndicated around the world. Thrilled to be a part of the iHeartRadio family. Until I see you next week, my friends, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration. I love you all, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, and thank you to Radley.